36. The walls and floor were coated in a frozen black wax that absorbed the light from Luke's helmet lamp and made the passage seem even darker and murkier than it was. Every few meters, a fissure caused by the tunnel's sudden decompression ran all the way to the moon ice, sometimes exposing a short length of spitcrete piping or power conduit. There were none of the shine balls that illuminated other Killick nests, nor any sense of order to its convoluted plan. The passages seemed to meander at random, twining around each other like vines, branching off at arbitrary intervals and rejoining the main passage without crossing any obvious destination between. At the speed he and Mara were sailing through the darkness, using the force to pull themselves along through the zero-G, Luke was growing badly disoriented. He no longer had any sense of whether they were traveling deeper into the moon or back toward the surface, whether 10 meters of Ethmane ice separated them from the hangar, or 1,000. Were it not for the frozen beads of vapor that his leaky vac suit was leaving behind, he wasn't even sure he could have found his way back down the same passage. Mara suddenly grabbed a crack in the wall and brought herself to a stop. Luke did the same and found himself looking at one of the bulging hatch membranes that Killix used instead of airlocks. A pull chain hung to one side of the hatch, attached to a set of valves positioned to spray sealing gel over the membrane before anyone could push through. Mara didn't reach for the pull chain, and neither did Luke. Both their spines were prickling with danger sense, and they were all too aware of how difficult it was to sense Gorog in the Force. "Ambush," Mara concluded. "They're starting to come after us." "Starting?" Luke looked around, and his helmet lamp illuminated a torrent of Dartship pilots pouring around the bend, at most 30 meters away. Wearing their Dartship canopies like carapaces, they were scurrying along every available tunnel surface, with their legs and arms sheathed in a shimmering fabric that bunched and gathered at the joints. They had no weapons other than their 6 limbs, but that would be enough if the swarm ever caught up. There was no question of using the Force to hide. Whenever the Gorog lost sight of their quarry, they simply spread out, scrambling over every surface in every direction, literally hunting their quarry down by feel. Luke began to pour blaster fire into the front ranks. Most bolts ricocheted off the canopies, while those that hit a limb simply activated a safety seal at the nearest joint. The insects just kept coming. "Trouble," Luke said over the suit comm. Lightsabers would be more effective, but he really didn't want to go hand to hand with who knew how many bugs. "Big trouble, in fact." "Maybe not that big," Mara said. "No, they can't all be Dartship pilots," Mara said. He felt rather than saw her nod at the bulging hatch membrane. "So they won't all be wearing pressure suits." "You're right," Luke said. The first pilots were less than 10 meters away now, but he holstered his blaster and grabbed his lightsaber. "Not that big." They ignited their lightsabers, then pressed themselves against the tunnel wall and slashed a large X across the center of the hatch. The membrane blew apart, and their would-be ambushers were sent tumbling past on a tide of explosive decompression, crashing into the pilot swarm and bringing its advance to a tumbling, confused halt. Once the torrent slowed, Mara floated through the tattered membrane into a corridor filled with flash-frozen Killix. Luke followed a few meters behind, using the Force to pull himself along, shouldering aside Gorog warriors with heads painted in the dark spray pattern of decompression death. "How's that hisser?" Mara asked. Luke checked the heads-up display inside his faceplate. He was down to just 15 minutes of air, and the loss rate was increasing. "Fine for now." He turned his helmet lamp back through the burst hatch and was relieved to illuminate only a small portion of the throng that had been pursuing them so far. About 50 of the insects were still coming, pushing their way up the body-choked passage toward him and Mara. The last dozen or so were scurrying in the opposite direction, vanishing into the darkness behind the hundreds of pilots that had already started back toward their dart ships. But the next time they come to a pressure hatch, let's try to leave it intact. I think our rescue party is about to be delayed. The navigation lock finally reached the center of the display. Relieved to note their Chiss escorts were still behind them, the cruiser was less likely to blast the Falcon to atoms that way. Han began a slow, spiraling descent into Kerr's thickening fog. He would have liked to drop into a power dive and go screaming down to find Luke and Mara, but that would have looked suspicious. And when Chiss grew suspicious, they killed things. "Let's see what it looks like inside that fog," Han said. "Activate the terrain scanners." Leia brought the scanners online. Unlike F-Main ice, F-Main fog was almost as transparent to sensors as air, and a moment later the mouth of the broad funnel-like pit appeared on Han's display. The hole appeared to be a deep one, descending more than 2 kilometers before finally curving out of sight. "Any sign of rescue beacons?" Han asked. Leia shook her head. "None." She closed her eyes. "They're too deep."
"Deep?"
"Inside Kerr. I think they're in the nest."
"In the nest?"
Han felt like he was going to choke on his heart.
"That's not funny, Leia."
"It gets less funny. Luke seems to think we'll meet a reception committee."
"You don't say."
Han smiled.
"Good."
"Good?" C-3PO demanded. "I don't see anything good about this situation at all. There's every chance that both Master Skywalker will be killed by our Baradium missiles."
"Not really."
Han pushed the Falcon's nose down and dropped into a steepening dive.
"For that to happen, we'd have to actually fire the Baradium missiles."
"You don't intend to fire them?"
C-3PO asked, growing even more alarmed.
"Not even one."
"No."
Leia's tone was relieved. It had been her idea to bring the Baradium missiles along, but she had spent most of the trip worried about how they were going to keep Alima clear when they fired the weapons at the nest. Han had not been quite so worried.
"Not with Luke and Mara inside."
"But you won't be able to clear the nest,"
C-3PO objected.
"Without those missiles..."
"Easy, 3PO."
The last thing Han wanted to hear was how bad the odds were. He was already having to hold the yoke tight to prevent his hands from shaking.
"I wasn't counting on the missiles anyway."
"You weren't?"
"Of course not. They're Baradium. You never get to shoot the Baradium missiles."
"Oh."
C-3PO grew calmer.
"That's true. I have no record of one actually being launched."
They descended 1,000 meters into the fog. Then a Chiss voice crackled over the comm.
"Millennium Falcon, be advised that if you attempt to invade us, we will open fire."
"We're not invading," Han answered.
"We're going in. You're welcome to follow."
"Going in?"
The F-Main ice was already beginning to make comm signals scratchy.
"Clarify."
"We have 2 Jedi pilots down inside the nest,"
Leia explained.
"We're going to extract them."
The claw craft reappeared on the Falcon's tail.
"We've detected no other craft, do you ever?"
Han interrupted.
"She said they were Jedi pilots. Luke and Mara Skywalker, to be exact. You coming or not?"
There was a moment's silence. Then the 2 claw crafts began to drop back.
"Your request lies outside our mission profile, but we have been authorized to wish you good luck."
"Thanks for nothing," Han grumbled.
"You're welcome,"
the Chiss replied.
"We could have shot you down."
The Falcon continued to descend, then finally broke out of the fog into a twisting, ice-walled shaft that was much narrower than it had appeared on the terrain scanner. Han gasped and pulled the ship in a spiral so tight it was almost a spin.
"Oh, dear,"
C-3PO cried.
"Relax, circuit brain,"
Han spoke between clenched teeth.
"I've got us under control."
"That isn't what concerns me, Captain Solo. We have a safety margin of 0.3PO,
Leia barked.
"What does concern you?"
C-3PO's golden arm stretched toward the viewport.
"That!"
It took a moment for Han and Leia to see the faint orange glow building in the depths of the shaft.
"Okay,"
Leia sighed.
That kinda concerns me too.
Relax. Everything's under control.
Han activated the intercom.
June, you ready back there?
There was a short delay, followed by the electronic screech of someone speaking too close to the intercom microphone.
Yes, Captain. If you think this is going to work.
It's going to work, Han said.
He checked the power levels on the Falcon's tractor beam and saw that they were holding at maximum. Still, he asked,
Are you sure you're ready?
There was a short pause, then Tarfang jabbered something sharp.
Tarfang assures you that he and Captain June are very prepared,
C-3PO translated.
He adds that if your glee-jawed plan fails, it's your own fault. You shouldn't try to blame it on them.
It's going to work, Han said.
He started to address the rest of his passengers, but Kip cut him off.
Of course we're ready.
Kip's voice came over the comm channel rather than the intercom, an indication that he was already in his vac suit and buttoned up tight.
We're Jedi.
Han glanced over at Leia.
I hate when he does that, he growled. You ready?
She nodded gravely.
As soon as you tell me you're going to get past the swarm,
Han grinned.
Who says I'm going to?
They rounded a bend, and about 2 kilometers below, saw the first haze of the dark ship swarm filling the shaft. Han pointed the Falcon's nose at them and accelerated.
Han?
Yeah?
You don't have to impress me.
Leia pinched her eyes shut.
I've never thought you were faint-hearted, not even once.
Han chuckled.
Good. Just want to keep...
June's voice came over the intercom.
Captain Solo, I have a question.
Now?
Han asked. The swarm of dark ships had thickened to a gray and orange cloud.
Now you have a question?
I can't find the activation safety,
June said.
There isn't one. Just activate. Now!
But the CEC maintenance manual clearly states that every freight moving apparatus shall have... Flip the criffing switch!
Leia yelled. The shaft's blue walls vanished behind the swarm, and bolts of red energy began to streak down into the shaft as Cockmame and Meewaw cut loose with the quad laser cannons.
That's an order,
Han added. June flipped the switch. The cabin lights dimmed, and every display on the flight deck winked out as cockpit power dwindled to nothing. Even the quad lasers started to dribble beams of blue light.
Han?
Leia's voice broke with fear.
We don't have any status displays. I can't monitor our shields. Is it supposed to do that?
You bet, Han said proudly. When I reversed the polarity of the tractor beam, I had to feed it every spare erg of power I could find.
All Han could see ahead was the cloud of dart ships, so close now that he could make out individual exhaust trails curving toward the Falcon's nose.
But not the shields, right?
Leia said. Canopy bulges began to appear atop the closest dart ship, some with antennae, waving inside, and propellant trails began to stab out from the swarm.
Please tell me we're not drawing on the...
A cone of iridescent energy shot out from beneath the Falcon, swallowing both the Gorog missiles and the swarm beyond. A series of fiery blossoms erupted as the missiles interpreted the repulsion beam as impact and detonated. The dart ships were harder to defeat. The pilots increased power, and the cloud of ships hung in stasis, still struggling to ascend the shaft. But as the Falcon continued to descend, the beam grew stronger. Soon, the Killick's primitive rocket engines began to overload and explode. Some dart ships fell out of control and crashed, while others began to tumble back down the shaft. For several moments, Han and Leia continued to catch glimpses of dart ships rolling around inside the beam, smashing into each other, spontaneously exploding, erupting against the pit's icy walls. Han slowed their descent until the eruptions grew less frequent. Finally, the boiling cloud of rubble dispersed and nothing lay below them but a jagged star of darkness that had once been a dart ship launching bay. Han brought the Falcon to a full stop and activated the intercom.
Okay, June, you'd better shut down before something blows up.
Han looked over at Leia and winked, then added,
And shift that power diverter back to the shields.